Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
To Dawn, thank you so much for letting me hang out with you guys today, man. This has been such a good time. I'm Jason Hammer. I'm a radio host in Indianapolis, and Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, the Dawn Stensland Show. I think I'll be with you guys on Wednesday, a little Christmas Eve show. So if you're having a good time today, hope to hear you again on Wednesday interacting with us. If you hate me, that's fine too. Hop in line. The list is long and distinguished. Over the weekend, Turning Point USA, the big Charlie Kirk group, the activist group, wrapped up their America Fest. Now, this was something that was in the works while Charlie was still alive. Kind of an annual thing they do, and it's been growing every year. Some of the biggest names in the conservative movement are at this America Fest. Now, the headline coming out of this past weekend should have been Charlie's widow, Erica Kirk, endorsing officially J.D. Vance for 2028. Not a big surprise, but it's out there now. It's official. One of the biggest conservative groups, TPUSA, has officially said, yeah, we're in it to win it with J.D. Vance for 2028. I know there's been some chatter that Ted Cruz might try to pick up some of those Nikki Haley level anti-Trump, anti-MAGA Republicans and do a primary challenge. But it sounds like a lot of the support is lining up for J.D. Vance already. That should have been the big headline. J.D. Vance's speech should have been a pretty big headline. I thought he had a great speech. If you missed it, here's a little bit of the vice president this past weekend out in Arizona.
It's the rogue district judges who issued nationwide injunctions every time the president lifts a finger. It's the Soros DAs who cheered on as their cities burned. What unites them? They win when our country loses. They get rich when you get poor. They hire the illegals that they bring in to take your jobs. They drink fine wine in the countries they ship your jobs to. They censor you because they'd rather destroy the Constitution than risk losing an argument. They bring in millions of voters because they know they can't win the argument with the people who are already here. And you know what else unites them? We are going to kick their ass next November and every year after that.
Strong speech. Got the crowd fired up. Okay. All right, J.D. Vance, I see you. Okay. So if you want to tell me Erica Kirk's endorsement or that pretty passionate speech by J.D. Vance should have been the big story coming out of this event, I'd been like, all right. But it feels like the infighting with like the social media influencers hijacked this event. You got Ben Shapiro going up there and he's flaming Tucker Carlson and he's flaming Megyn Kelly. You have Tucker that comes up there later and responds. You've got Rob Schneider and people are ripping on Candace Owens. Now, I admit, I follow this stuff pretty closely. I live in this bubble, this news talk bubble. And many of you guys do too. But I'm wondering, and I always go back to the barbershop analogy. If you were to walk into any barbershop right now in downtown Philadelphia, would anybody give a blue rat's rear end that Ben Shapiro's feuding with Tucker Carlson? Would anybody care that Candace Owens and Megyn Kelly are fighting? Does that move the needle for anybody? Or is this just something we see on social media? Because one of the things I tell my kids all the time, and I say it to my audience in Indianapolis, social media is not real life. You think it is. You might want it to be. But social media is not real life. Just because there's a blue check mark and millions of followers. It's not real life. So I'm wondering if it's really these conservative influencers feuding. Is that really the story? Or is it Erica Kirk's endorsement? Is it J.D. Vance's speech? Let me know, at Jason Allen Hammer. That's my Twitter account. And yes, I will always call it Twitter. They'll always be the Washington Redskins, and X will always be Twitter. I'm getting old. I'm 48 years old. Fight me. Don't care. CNN's liberal quack doctor. Have you seen this guy? Jonathan Reiner. Basically, if you haven't heard this, this is so ridiculous. Goes on air with that hack Jake Tapper and said that because of how fast Trump was speaking in that address the other night, I mean, the old man was rolling. Sounded a little bit like the Micro Machines guy, if you're old enough to remember those commercials from the 80s. But because Trump was speaking so quickly, according to CNN's quack doctor Jonathan Reiner, his health is quickly deteriorating, and he's seriously concerned. Take a listen.
It was delivered in with a manic cadence, almost a frantic cadence. It was as if you felt like you were listening to a podcast on 2X. And that kind of manic delivery was very, very disturbing. And
oh, shut up.
President, you know, like that. He seemed almost frantic, and it was disturbing to watch. And it was disturbing to see him with in such a almost uncontrolled cadence.
Oh, shut the hell up. Let me say it again for the people in the back. Shut the hell up. Because, and there's a reason why I say that, this is the same doctor who did not say a negative word when Joe Biden was falling up the stairs, was falling down the stairs, was speaking gibberish, was sniffing hair, was looking like he was a corpse on a beach wearing a doctor. This is the same doctor. And here's the clip I'm talking about. Back in 2023 on CNN, after the latest fall from Joe Biden.
But people have sort of this mistaken opinion that the president is like an astronaut and we're spinning them around in centrifuges to prove their fitness. But what we really ask for is mental sharpness and the ability to carry out the duties of his office. And I think the president has shown that. And 80-year-old people fall.
Oh, it's fine. 80-year-old people fall. Nothing to see here. It's Frank Drebin in The Naked Gun standing in front of the fireworks store that's exploding behind him. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. You can't hate some of these people on cable news enough. You can't. Because if you're going to tell me that this guy...
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
What? He just gave up. He went full France and waved a surrender flag on national television in the middle of a sentence right there. Again, this is one of my favorite Biden clips of all time. Listen to this.
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Anyway. That's just fancy talk for, screw it. But according to old Dr. Reiner, CNN's resident medical advisor, oh, he's fine. He's 80. 80-year-old people fall. But Donald Trump, trying to keep up with a teleprompter that's going too fast. Sweet Jesus, he's got one foot in the grave. So ridiculous. So over the top and re-damn-diculous. Look, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I like to have a beverage from time to time. And the holidays can be stressful, okay? We've got a couple shopping days left. Many of you have family coming into town. Some of you have some traveling to do. Finances get tight. Money gets tight. I get it. The holidays can be stressful. So, If you need a reason to drink tonight, I got you. Happy 54th birthday, 5-4, to Ted Cruz. Lying Ted, as Trump once said, tells the truth with the Bible high, puts it down, and then he lies. One of the great nicknames given in any sort of political cycle took Ted Cruz from like a favorite in that primary, and Trump started picking them off one by one. The Lion Ted nickname stuck with him. Now, I do like Ted Cruz. He's a little Magoo from time to time. Didn't handle the cold weather in Texas really well when he was trying to hop on that plane to Cancun. Not a real strong look by Ted right there. But if we're going to do great moments in Ted Cruz history, I want to go back to when he was running in that primary, 2015, trying to get the 2016 nomination. And this may have been one of the debates that Trump sat out. So Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, they're on the stage. They're sparring. They're going back and forth. And at one point, Marco Rubio calls out Ted Cruz's ability to speak Spanish. Well, those are fighting words to a Texas man like Ted Cruz. Next thing you know, he's popping off his own version of what he calls Spanish.
Marco went on Univision in Spanish and said he would not rescind President Obama's illegal executive amnesty on his first day in office. I have promised to rescind every single illegal executive action, including that one.
First of all, I don't know how he knows what I said on Univision because he doesn't speak Spanish. And second of all,
not the most proud moment for conservative voters. Not the the best thing we were looking for out of that debate. A Spanish off between Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. And listen, again, I'm 48 years old. I grew up watching the movie Friday. Now, Friday came out when I was in high school. Ice Cube and Chris Tucker. Now, I'm going to play a clip for you. And if you're around my age, you'll understand this. Ted Cruz speaking Spanish on that debate always reminded me of Smokey speaking Spanish in the movie Friday.
Ahora mismo, díselo ahora. En español, si quieres.
I can't tell who's who. Again, see if you can tell who's Ted Cruz and who is Smokey from Friday.
Ahora mismo, díselo ahora. En español, si quieres.
I don't know. As the gambling community would say, that's a push. Everybody wins. So if you need a reason to drink tonight, if the Eagles fighting and winning on national TV wasn't enough, if it's not enough to have, for many of you, a short work week, Ted Cruz, Lion Ted, who may still be considering trying to primary J.D. Vance in 2028, trying to win over those disgruntled Nikki Haley conservatives. Ted Cruz, 54 years old today. And I'm not just here to crap on Ted Cruz. I'm not. Because he does do some good stuff. I mean, he's a smart guy. You don't want to get into a constitution off against Ted Cruz. But if I'm on a debate stage and somebody's calling my wife out and they're saying my dad is the Zodiac killer, how do you not walk over and just punch him in the face? How do you just let that happen? 54th birthday today for Ted Cruz. All right, don't go anywhere. When we come back, we're going to play a little game called Do You Buy It? Chuck Schumer, apparently Johnny Tough Guy, when it comes to dealing with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. We're going to play a game called Do You Buy It? We're going to need your interactive feedback. That's coming up next. It's the Dawn Stensland Show, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
We are rolling. Rolling on a Monday, baby. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. It's the Dawn Stensland Show. Dawn off today. I'm Jason Hammer from WIBC in Indianapolis. My honor to hang out, talk a little smack with you guys today. Having a good time. All right. Feel free to follow me on Twitter. I know it's called X, but I'm old. Twitter at Jason Allen Hammer, because we're going to need some feedback here. We're going to play a game called Do You Buy It? Do you buy it? So apparently, the story is that Chuck Schumer stormed up to the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, and Marco Rubio, ripping them to their face for the way they were treating narco terrorists, which is fancy talk for Venezuelan drug dealers. Now, before we get to any of the layers of this, if we're going to talk about Chuck Schumer, you got to get the Chuck Schumer music, right? Crying Chuck. Chuck Schumer. The same guy that was on that barbecue grill with the frozen cheese. Just such a stupid picture. He claims that he stormed up to Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio and gave them a good old-fashioned finger wagging. The moving finger, because of what happened when they had to go back and finish the job of blowing up a drug boat. Take a listen to Chuck Schumer.
We had a deeply unsatisfying briefing this morning with Secretaries Rubio and Hegseth. It asked more questions than it answered, and it was just, there is almost no transparency in this administration.
Huh.
And that reveals itself more than anything on revealing what happened on September 2nd. This morning I demanded in front of every senator to Hegseth's face that he let every senator see the unedited video of what happened on September 2nd. I've seen it. It turns your stomach.
So, again, the rules of the game. Do you buy it? Tweet at me, at Jason Allen Hammer, that Chuck Schumer waddled his ass up there in front of the Secretary of War, in front of all of his friends and colleagues, just like Scrappy-Doo would do in an episode of Scooby-Doo, and gave a good old-fashioned finger-wagging to Pete Hegseth. Do you buy it? Because if you do, I've got some oceanfront property right here in my home city of Indianapolis to sell you. I think there's a little difference in the way that this went down from the way Chuck's telling the story to what really happened. You just heard that soundbite. He made it sound like he was the outlaw Josie Wales walking up there with a cowboy hat on and a six shooter ready for a showdown. The real reality is he said something kind of nearby. It wasn't in the face of Pete Hegseth. And the other thing, and I don't know if you guys caught this, he's ripping on the transparency of the Trump administration. Look, you can rip on Trump all you want. You got a lot of material, right? But transparency, I really don't think, is the hill you want to die on. You might not like his answers, but the old man puts himself out there all the time. If it's not a chopper presser or a press gaggle or something where he allows you to just yell out questions while he's sitting there with a world leader at the White House, from the daily briefings with Caroline Leavitt. The old man is out there. And Chuck Schumer, up until he was told by his DNC overlords to tell Joe Biden, thanks but no thanks, we're moving in a different direction in the election, you covered up for 4 years the mental decline of that buffoon. The falling up the stairs, the falling down the stairs, the constant speaking of gibberish, the folksy racism. You covered it all up. Every bit of it. You and your butt sniffer friends from the DNC, you covered every bit of it up. So you don't get to be upset, Chucky Poo, about transparency. Now, going back to the topic at hand, we talked about this a little bit earlier. This is such a losing strategy for the Democrats. It's a big midterm election coming up. And if history has taught us anything, midterm elections usually are the Empire Strikes Back or Revenge of the Nerds. However you want to look at your analogy there. The side that just had their ass handed to them usually circles the wagon, comes back and wins. The base gets fired up. They're motivated to come back. And there's a very good chance the Democrats are favored to win the House. Truth be told, between you and I, I'm a gambling man. I would bet the Democrats win the House as of right now. But if they're going to die on the hill and campaign on making these Venezuelan fentanyl dealers the victims here, the same way they did Maryland man, all bets are off. Here is Tim Kaine. Now, if you remember, this weenie used to be Pantsuit Patty, Hillary Clinton's running mate. Here he is talking about the, quote, struggling survivors. Again, Venezuelan fentanyl dealers.
I'd like to share with you my concerns about the second strike that killed struggling survivors clinging to the shipwreck on September 2. But I can't fully explain why this is so outrageous, because most of what I know from a classified setting. Unlike Senator Schumer, I've not seen the video yet.
Struggling survivors. Fentanyl dealers who want to poison and kill Americans. Struggling survivors. You're putting these people in the same category as, like, the people from the movie Alive that had that plane crash. And they're trying to survive, and they have to start eating each other. Those are struggling survivors, not fentanyl dealers from Venezuela bringing narcotics to the United States. Again, the Republicans do a great job of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. And for the most part, Democrats, even if their stance is completely asinine and lunatic-like, they're usually lockstep together. But this is wild. This is the hill they're going to die on, and it's this type of crap that could cause them problems in the midterms. And I'm not the only one that notices. Your senator from the great state of Pennsylvania, John Fetterman.
This idea, some things out in the media, it's kind of putting out this that the military is just picking off, you know, any boat that comes across. That's just not true. I mean, there's extensive intelligence, and they know exactly who's on that boat, and they know what's actually on that boat right now. And it's quite frequently they decline to take it and to move on those things. When they move on those kinetic kinds of strikes, you know, they have absolute confidence that who's on it and what's on it, and that's exactly what it's about. They're not just going around randomly just shooting boats and those things. That's just not the fact.
Now, some of you like Senator Fetterman. Some of you don't like Senator Fetterman, and that's okay. We can have that debate. That's why we're here, right? But I think he speaks to a bigger topic here. There's a lot of Democrats who aren't the over-the-top super radicals, right? Last couple of years, there's been a big difference between AOC, Jasmine Crockett, and that type of Democrat compared to the way Fetterman sees things. And I get it, House compared to Senate, I know. But I'm talking about the Democrat Party as a whole here. It feels like there's a pretty big divide. And I don't think it's a coincidence that you've got Senator Fetterman going on and doing these TV interviews, not just on left-leaning outlets, but sometimes jumping over on Fox and Newsmax, speaking to those guys. Because there's a lot of old-school Democrats who feel like the young guns are going to cost them an election or cost them a big race at the very minimum. That's where I see Fetterman at in this whole process. According to a new study, a website is making the case for having exactly two drinks, just two, at your office Christmas party. Just two. They say that it'll make you more relaxed, more sociable, and it won't make you look like sloppy and belligerent drunk guy. So this study that was done says that two drinks is the happy place for your company Christmas party. All right, fine. I'm more of a 6-7 drink kind of guy, but you do you. Which brings us to great moments in drunk history. This is one of my favorite things of all time. This is when a fan ran on the field at an NFL game and started taking his clothes off, was clearly intoxicated, and the great Kevin Harlan had the call.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from
coat.
The left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that's such a great call of a drunk fan on the field. I'm a Kevin Harlan guy. Love Kevin Harlan. It's the Dawn Stensland Show. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that. More dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
The Dawn Stensland Show. Right here, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Dawn out today. I'm Jason Hammer. Anybody watch the new Chappelle Netflix special yet? Dave Chappelle comedy special dropped, I think surprisingly, on Netflix. And I haven't watched it. I've had some friends that have watched it. They tell me the first 35 to 40 minutes, pretty funny. Dave Chappelle, funny guy. I think he's hilarious. But the last half gets a little preachy. Starts talking about how Charlie Kirk isn't quite at the level of Martin Luther King and some of these other folks in terms of assassinations. He's making fun of the people that were really upset that Charlie Kirk got shot. And he starts ripping on Bill Maher because Bill Maher has been critical of Dave Chappelle for taking a lot of the Saudi Arabia money. Chappelle was one of the comedians that went over to Saudi Arabia, performed a number of shows over there. Saudis have been dumping tons of money into the American entertainment field. I mean, you already have LIV Golf, but they've been partnered with the WWE, the pro wrestling. They got a WrestleMania, I believe, lined up to go overseas to Saudi Arabia. They've been doing business with them for a while. And then a number of these big-time comedians went over there, and Chappelle was one of them. So it seems a little disingenuous for one guy to kind of be preachy in his stand-up show, but be defensive about taking his money from the Saudis. Like, if you want to take your money, I'm not mad. Just own it. Be like, I took the comedy gigs because the Saudis have a crap ton of money. So I feel like it would be disingenuous of me to finger wag at you for doing something. You can't have it both ways, though. It sounds like Chappelle right now. Again, full disclosure, I have not seen the new Netflix special. I've just had friends texting me about it. I've seen some things on social media. You can't have it both ways, Dave. You can't. I mean, you got freedom of speech, but you come off a little disingenuous. You can't be finger waggy and also super defensive when one comes back to you. So I don't know. If you've watched it, let me know. Also, over the weekend, there was a moment at a Providence basketball game where some of the officials and police officers in that wild Brown University story were shown on the Jumbotron, and I think they were announced. And these guys stood up, and they were soaking in a standing ovation at this Providence Friars basketball game. Now, mind you, these are the guys that botched the Brown University manhunt. And it's okay to say that. Does it make you a bad person for saying that these guys screwed this thing up? I'm very pro-law enforcement. Let me make that perfectly clear. Law enforcement has been a big part of my family for a long time. But it's okay to say when they get things wrong. Had it not been for some homeless guy on Reddit, they might still be looking for the gunman. They might still be looking for the shooter. From a university perspective, from a local political standpoint, and a local police standpoint, the university president, the mayor, and the police chief do not deserve a standing ovation. Hell to the no. The homeless guy deserves the standing ovation, and I hope he got the $50,000 reward. I mean, if that's not the most bizarre story of 2025, I don't know what is. I'm not saying it's the biggest. You know, we're getting to the final couple weeks of the year here, and everybody's going to be doing their year in review shows. I would imagine the Charlie Kirk assassination or some of the other things like that are the top story of the year. But this Brown University shooting and the weird layers to this story, the homeless guy that was on Reddit, that was also living at the university, but nobody knew, the MIT professor that was killed that happened to be an old college acquaintance of the gunman. I mean, if this were a movie, you would say, okay, that's a good movie, but it's unrealistic. But this is real life. But I don't know if those guys should be soaking in the standing ovation. Let's shift gears just a little bit and talk a little bit about wheeling, dealing, hair sniffing, kiss stealing Joe Biden.
I got hairy legs. Take a test where you're taking cocaine. Come on, man. You ain't black.
It's been a little while since we've checked in on Joe Biden, but it's official now. And this was kind of rumored late, you know, October, but it's official now. Joe Biden has secured a $10 million book deal for his presidential memoir. $10 million. That's so gross. That is so laughable. There is no way in blue hell that old you-know-what is going to sell enough copies to cover the $10 million that was given up front. But that's how these book deals work. It's glorified money laundering right in your face. Oh, here's $10 million. It's an advance on your book profits. Oh, okay. Profits. Wink, wink. That $10 million is going to get the book on the New York Times bestseller list. There's going to be just warehouses full of copies of this turd that nobody's buying. And in return, somebody's getting a kickback, or that money's going into Joe's bank account. Wouldn't be the first time that the big guy has got a little bit on the side. These book deals, it's money laundering, it's right in your face, and nobody does anything about it. Like, I'm not even sure what is more in our face that we can't do anything about. The insider trading? Or the money laundering with these horrible books? And what's going to be in this book? Who is going to run out and go, yeah, you know that guy that was asleep all the time? You know that guy that had a lid, called it 11 a.m. all the time? The guy that was falling down the stairs all the time? I can't wait to sit down and read what he's got to say. Well, if you're wondering what's in the book, lucky for you, I pulled some strings. I couldn't quite get the real Joe Biden to come on the program. He's asleep, but I got the next best thing. Here to preview his horrible book, it's AI Joe Biden.
Hey, buttholes. It's me, Joe. Joe Exotic. Anyway, I'm excited for a new book. There are going to be awesome things in it. Pages to color, pictures of naked ladies, and a few blank pages with drool.
Sure.
And it's also scratch and sniff. Some of the pages will smell like children's hair. The rest will smell like my diaper after eating a spicy cup of chili.
Oh.
I forgot to tell you the best part.
Oh.
The best part of my book is, I forgot.
Okay.
Anyway, I have some Matlock to watch. AI Biden out.
AI Biden out. I think he may have oversold the book, to be honest with you. There's a story out where people are predicting popular American traditions that will slowly fade away in the coming decades. Okay? So these are popular traditions we do now as a society that for one reason or the other will fade away in the coming decades. And coming in at number one on the list, class reunions. Class reunions. Now I can see this. Now I don't know if anybody else is in this position, but I'm a former high school class president. So that means I get stuck putting these class reunions together every year. But the reason that this story says they're going to be fading away, two words, social media. You can see these people on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook, on Twitter. You don't need to get together at the 19th hole in your towny bar trying to squeeze into your letter jacket anymore. The only people still doing that are the peaked in high school people that you usually see the night before Thanksgiving anyway. So that came in at number one. Number two, and I don't know if I buy this one, trick-or-treating. Trick-or-treating. Because there are so many freaks that live among us now. Many parents are hesitant to have their kids just walking up to these houses. And the rise of trunk-or-treat events that churches and fire stations and people like that do. I still think people will go trick-or-treating, but based on this story out of Connecticut, I understand why.
Police in St. Johnsbury wrapped up their investigation into a smelly Halloween mystery. They tell us a kid didn't get a treat, they got a bag of poop.
Oh! Well, that's not good! That's not what you want in your trick-or-treat bag! Although it's still better than Tootsie Rolls. And another thing that people say may be going away, and this is where I'm a little fired up here. I completely disagree with this. private firework displays on the 4th of July. Private firework displays. The reason being, a lot of local communities, for the most part, let's be honest, more liberal areas, cracking down on this type of thing. And the rise of big shows in everybody's community, whether it's a park, whether it's a downtown in a city somewhere. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. I like my beer cold, I like my TV loud, and I'm fireworks guy. I am fireworks guy. I love to blow crap up. We do it big at the Hammer House, man, on the 4th of July. And if you take away local and private fireworks shows in the backyard, then you're going to have to be the one that walks up to Wheelchair Terry, the guy from the viral video, the guy that's in the wheelchair, where his buddies have given him the responsibility of lighting off the big, immaculate display. And then his wheelchair breaks, and he can't escape, and all of his friends are laughing at him. You're going to have to be the one that tells these guys they can't have any more fun.
Hey, hold on. Bag up, Terry.
Back up, Terry. You're going to take that away from us over my cold, dead corpse, you are. I'm telling you, firework displays ain't going anywhere, baby. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand.
It is the Dawn Stenslin Show. It's Dawn's world. We're just living in it. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Jason Hammer, radio host out of Indianapolis. Honored. Honestly, to be asked to fill in for Dawn. So thank you guys so much for having a good time screwing around with us this afternoon. There's a new study out about Christmas songs. And I just heard the little commercial there at the top of the hour talking about Christmas. Singing Christmas songs is actually good for your health. This is a new study. Now, the reason they're saying this is that a bunch of doctors got together and found that singing lowers blood pressure, which can be a little high around the holidays. It expands your lungs, and it stimulates your brain in multiple ways. And doing it in social settings is even better because it helps people bond even with total strangers. So again, still no cure for cancer. But hot damn, we found out if I sing Jingle Bells at the middle of a Walmart, I might as well be on the elliptical. It's good for my health. So with that being said, say no more. Let's sing some damn Christmas songs here, shall we? This is what it sounds like when you take away the music and just isolate the vocals of Mariah Carey. This was, I believe, at a show in New York. She's outside, weather conditions, I get it, it's cold, but a sound engineer isolated Mariah's vocals without the music of All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Make my wish come true. Ooh, you, baby. Ooh,
oh.
You.
Jeez.
So make my wish come true. Baby, all I want for Christmas is you.
Jeez. Wow. That's a far cry from the Vision of Love days that I grew up with. That's not the Love Takes Time emotions, Mariah. All right, so for the sake of, you know, keeping things fair here, let's play some more isolated vocals, okay? Which do you prefer? What you just heard from Mariah or the world famous, and you've probably heard it before, isolated vocals of David Lee Roth from Van Halen and Running with the Devil?
Ah! yes. Yeah, yeah. I live my life like there's no tomorrow. And all I've got, I had to steal. Least I don't need to beg or borrow.
Jeez.
Yes, I'm living at a pace that kills.
Big finish, David Lee.
Ooh, yeah.
My God. So choose your fighter. Better isolated vocals, Mariah Carey or David Lee Roth at Jason Allen Hammer on Twitter. One more before we get out of here today. Again, for you people who are very passionate that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, let's mash that with the 12 Days of Christmas. This is for you freaks.
Good evening.
I'm here to see Holly McClain.
Just type it in there.
Cute toy.
Terrorists in Nakatomi Plaza.
Been doing this for 11 years.
10 square blocks.
Mayday, mayday. Channel 9.
8 Lincoln 30 to dispatch.
The 7 members of the new Provo Front.
6 armed with automatic weapons.
5 imprisoned leaders of Liberté de Quebec.
$4 million.
3 down, 4 to go.
Code 2 at Nakatomi Plaza.
He's killed one terrorist for sure, and he claims he's capped off 2 others.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Christmas.
There you go. There you go. So, according to that study, singing, especially Christmas songs, lowers the blood pressure, expands the lungs, and a bunch of nonsensical crap that nobody's ever going to fact check. There you go. You're welcome. If you need another reason to drink tonight, there you go. Again, thank you so much to Dawn Stensland, allowing me to fill in today. Again, I'm going to be on my own radio program in Indianapolis this afternoon, but to come on this station and kick it with you guys, this has been a lot of fun. This has been a whole lot of fun. So thank you to Dawn and all the folks at WPHT that reached out to a hick like myself. It was really cool. This was really cool. Sean back in the studio telling me when we're on, telling me when we're off. Because what I've learned in Philadelphia is that you don't want to be caught on a hot mic. And I'll just let that one stay. So thank you to to Sean for making sure we take care of ourselves here. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, Dom Giordano. He's up next. Dom Giordano's program is up next. I'll be back hanging out with you guys on Wednesday, a little Christmas Eve. Pour some eggnog, put some moonshine in that bad boy, and I promise you, we are going to have a good time. Good luck if you play the Powerball tonight. Approaching $2 billion. Good luck if you win, and don't be afraid to give your boy a cut. Top stories next.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, on demand. On demand.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.